This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
An insider's look at the National Football League. It's NFL Lunch.
Presented by Ruth's Chris Steakhouse.
With Vinny and Haney on 105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We were talking about a half an hour ago. It's a Featured Artist Friday. Rage Against the Machine, last hour of the show. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw. Talking with Brian DiArda here on NFL Lunch about the Browns and the debacle that is that organization right now. And Deshaun Watson, the injury recovery has not gone well. As a matter of fact, had a big setback on top of it. His performance on the field has been subpar, to say the least. Is it fair to say his high water mark with Cleveland was the second half of that Ravens game, like a year and a half, where he was like 17 of 18? And then 2 days later, he was out for the year with a shoulder. But Andrew Berry, team president, talks about Deshaun, the injury recovery, and all that fun stuff.
Yeah, so you know, obviously Deshaun, he re-injured his Achilles. Unfortunately, he turned his foot ankle area that caused the re-tear during the normal stages of the recovery process. I know there's been a lot of speculation, everything out there, but you know, there's nothing nefarious. It's just an unfortunate accident. He will miss significant time. How far that spans into 2025, I can't give you a specific right now. You know, he's shown to be a fast healer, and you know, we're going to try and be as thoughtful and aggressive with the recovery process, but that's not something that I could predict at the current moment.
Yeah. In other words, you know, stay away as long as can.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, yeah. He's, for some reason, he's always hurt now, and he's always shoulders, Achilles, you know. I mean, it's just one thing after another. And if you're not rehabbing, how's he going to get better as a quarterback if he can't drop back, throw, and do all those things? So, I mean, every year he's starting over.
Nothing nefarious, Nolan. 50 Cent word there. Saying there's no subterfuge.
So some people are actually thinking that the injury would allow them to maybe recoup some of the money they gave him in the contract, that
right,
there was a clause in there. So that's what he was referring to with the nefarious comment.
Right, because if he did it, you know, doing something that he wasn't supposed to do. Because in your contract, when you sign a contract, it's pretty crazy, like, all the things that you're not allowed to do. It's in your contract. Like, you can't ski, you can't do all these kind of things. You know, and if he was doing one of those things, then they could recoup.
Yeah, like the old Ubaldo pothole for the Orioles way back when, or they didn't galooly him. Little Tanya Harding, Nancy Kerrigan. Literally get out there and bash him up the side of the head with that lead pipe there.
We got to do a ranking of the strangest injuries in sports.
Didn't Jeff Kent say he got hurt washing his car, but in reality it was a motorcycle accident or something
right,
stupid like that?
Or I think about Trevor Bauer with the drone that sliced his finger.
Oh, well, how about, was it Smoltz burned himself ironing his shirt while he was wearing it or something crazy?
Yeah, we got to do something.
Yeah, best time to iron your shirt as it's on. Anyway, Andrew Berry, Myles Garrett wants out. Matter of fact, reports are he doesn't want to he wants out. Nothing you could do to keep him around, right? But Andrew Berry says, we're cool.
As you guys have all heard me say, he's a huge part of our organization, really good person. He's an awesome player. Understand the trade request and everything, but our stance really has not changed. We can't imagine a situation where not having Miles as a part of the organization is best for the Browns.
Well, I would kind of tend to disagree. I mean, Bob, I think you made a good point about they won one playoff game with him.
Well, that was DiArdo.
Won one playoff game with him. So if you can get a couple ones and, a haul, because you need players. And one guy has not, he gets a ton of sacks, which is all great, but, unless you're getting the quarterback and all these other things, you're better off kind of doing like Jimmy Johnson did at Dallas and try to get as many picks as you can. But the thing is you got to hit on those picks. That's the thing.
But he's already written his goodbye letter to Cleveland. Miles Garrett, I'm out. I mean, I love you. This is a great city. Appreciate the Browns' love. But, I want to win. And if you just look at the AFC North, they're not in a position to compete in the division, much less in the conference.
I wonder what, when Barry, let's just say that you're the GM, Bob, of Detroit Lions. And, Andrew. I talk to you about Miles. Yeah, you can talk to me about, what would it take? What would you give me? I think those kind of things are going on. But if he comes out and says, yep, he's for sale, you may lose some value. I think they want to recoup as much as they can get.
I would be floored if Myles Garrett's playing for Cleveland in 2025.
Me too.
He's made it as clear as he possibly can. He wants no parts of that any longer. Kevin Stefanski, head coach of the Browns. This guy's a two-time Coach of the Year winner. Now going into this season, probably on the hot seat, meeting with the media at Indianapolis, rather, at the Combine, talking about building a strong foundation on offense.
I think there's things that you believe in that you want to create a foundation of what you believe in your identity. But then you have to be ready to change depending on who your players are, and players plural, not just the quarterback position. You have to understand what your guys do best. So you're trying to put in a foundation of an offense and then obviously pivot based on the players.
Is that why he gave up play calling when Deshaun was playing quarterback? They started out running Stefanski's office with Deshaun Watson, and that wasn't working, so he brings in new coordinator
Ken Dorsey.
Try to do things that, Watson could do, and then he gets hurt all the time, and then they start, winging it around with Joe Flacco because they couldn't run it. And the O-line's not. I mean, they got a lot of issues on offense. So, good coaches, they're going to see what they get. What do our players do good? And then that's what they got to do.
I mean, they're challenged offensively.
Yeah, no doubt.
Quarterback, Nick Chubb's probably done.
Yep.
Back-to-back injured years. Outside of Njoku, where's the offensive firepower at receiver?
What's his name they got from Denver? Judy. Judy was pretty good.
Okay, sure. But either way, they're screwed.
Yes.
I mean, if you compare their blues to anybody else in the division.
Well, their best blue wants out.
Yeah. Maybe their only blue, as a matter of fact. Video at 81057, the Fan NFL Lunch. Mark Acevedo, he's the Ravens Director of Pro Personnel, and he met with the Ravens website, ravens.com, did a one-on-one with the Combine. Now, and you get to see these players up close and personal. How does the big board change after this weekend?
Not a whole lot. The biggest change is our coaches, like I said, they're going to be immersed in the process starting now. So getting their opinions will factor into the board. As scouts, a lot of the work that we've done is already covered last week. So we're going to incorporate the data. It's like puzzle pieces, right? So we're going to incorporate all the data that we had here, the testing numbers, the medical, the interviews, and that will augment the board some, but I wouldn't say it would be drastic.
And The coaches getting involved, that kind of changes, will change the board some. Because there's no reason, like if these scouts you know, they love this guy, and then the coaches watch him and stuff, and they'll watch him as an offensive group too. And if they don't like him or this guy doesn't fit, you know, I mean, Eric's not going to say, hey, offense, you don't like him? We're still taking him because, no, that ain't happening. I mean, they do a good job of collaborating, you know, and to me, that's what the good organizations do. It's not like the GM who says, I've got control of it, I get to pick. You know, no, I mean, you got to listen to everybody and take guys that people like and that fit what they want to do and stuff. And that's when you have most success.
Now, speaking of picks, Ravens have 11 of those, at least for now. Mark Acevedo talks about holding on to the 11, possibly making deals. What are we doing here?
I think we can trade at any point, but I think more picks just creates more excitement for the group to be able to. I think we really do a good job of, you're not going to be perfect, right? But we're going to hit on a lot of picks. So I think we're excited about the talent we can add to our roster.
I think that's an analytical thing, Bob, about the more picks. And it's just because the more picks we have, the better the odds are, you know, that we're going to hit on guys. I mean, because if you got 11 picks and let's say five guys hit, pretty good. Hey, that was a hell of a draft, guys. I mean, with this kind of roster and you got five guys, you know, so I think they're playing a numbers game.
And real quick, and we've talked about this, looking at the Ravens on paper, they should be one of the most talented teams in the NFL in 2025. Mark Acevedo talks about building an already deep roster.
Well, I would say our draft class as a whole last year, if you look back at Sanusi Kane and Tez Walker and TJ Tampa, in addition to Roger, and they all made impacts in their own way. We have a deep team returning, but we're excited to add depth and competition that we can fill in holes. But I think it more in particular just create competition so we can put the best guys out in the field.
Yeah, I think their draft class with Wiggins and Roger made big impacts. Kane was big on special teams. But otherwise, everybody else, I think there a lot of them were hurt or had been hurt and fighting through injuries. A lot of those other guys are talented guys, and I think they're going to show up in year two. You know, and that's the thing is, when you have a good football team, you know, not a lot of guys can help you right away, but in year two, no doubt.
It's 58-81-057. The Fan will come back, give you an Orioles score update. Gunnar Henderson left yesterday's game early, is not in today's starting lineup. Rich Dubroff and the rest of the media talk to Brandon Hyde. He gives you an update on old number two. How is he feeling? And we'll preview tomorrow night's WBA lightweight championship fight. Gervonta Davis, Baltimore zone, taking on DC's Lamont Roach. At least a little Baltimore DC fun.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby.
If you enjoy football, football,
be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys. New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday.
Subscribe on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
105.7, that is. Orioles taking on the Twins. Jackson Holliday, Colton Cowser, Gary Sanchez, Kerstad in left field, Rivera at third base, Carlson right field. Mayo's at first base today. Daz Cameron, DH, Levon Soto's your shortstop. in support of Zach Eplin. No Gunnar Henderson, left yesterday's game, lower back soreness, going to miss this weekend. Brandon Hyde, Orioles manager, said that he's getting better. And I guess we can only take him for his word. And Gunnar, of course, young, strapping guy, should be ready to rock and roll. Keeping an eye on Westberg, though. Jordan Westberg hasn't played since the opener last Saturday, and he's dealing with lower back soreness. The injury problems are always part of a sports reality, so hopefully the Orioles don't endure too much of that, as we're less than a month away from the start of the season. Eplin's on the hills. Suarez, Cano, Hernandez, Perez, Carlos Tavera, all going to get a chance to throw that rawhide today against Minnesota. Now, in the first inning here, Jackson Holliday led off. And we talked earlier in the show about Colton Cowser, single to right field.
Mm-hmm.
And then Mooman struck out. He had struck out over almost 180 times last year, which is ninth most in the history of the Orioles. Whew. So as we talked about, not necessarily bunting to be Rod Carew, but bunting to maybe give a different look, get on base, and then use your wheels to wreak havoc on the base pass. Same with Jackson Holliday. So anyway, he strikes out. Holliday got picked off by the pitcher trying to steal third base.
Mm-hmm. But he did steal second. So
okay, there you go.
So he got a little greedy there, apparently.
Well, maybe he was feeling that. Maybe he read Rich Dubroff's his column about running a little bit more. Gary Sanchez grounded out. Then in the bottom of the first, Zach Eplin, he gets out of it unscathed outside of a Byron Buxton single to center field there. So Zach Eplin making his spring debut as the Orioles take on the Minnesota Twins.
And Buxton stole second, which I guess is not surprising with Gonzalez catching.
So there we are. Sanchez.
Sanchez, I mean. Yeah.
So there we go. So through one, Orioles and Twinkies scoreless tomorrow. It'll be Cade Povich going up against Paul Skeens. And then Dean Kramer will pitch on Sunday. Sanchez and the Phillies there. NFL draft coming up. Still a couple of months away from that, but the combine is moving on. And we were talking earlier, Brian DiArdo, about Travis Hunter. And what do you do with him? Heisman Trophy winner out of the University of Colorado. He was also, what, the defensive player of the year in the Big 12. I mean, he makes game-changing plays both sides of the ball. And Brian said, and we'll see how this all plays out, if Tennessee doesn't take him, trade out and try to stockpile the picks there. But if you're Travis Hunter, who said he can do either or, you got to incorporate his strengths here instead of trying to pigeonhole him. And Brian was talking about trying to think of a guy who did it at the high level at the collegiate ranks. I mean, Deion played receiver at Florida State, but he wasn't like the transcending guy.
Champ Bailey, same thing.
Yeah, Bo Jackson was a baseball/football player. I'm sure if you wanted him to play safety, he probably could, or linebacker. But, I mean, we're going back to like the Jim Thorpe days, where guys were like doing it up, playing 60 minutes, not missing a snap either side of the ball. He's an incredible player, but how do you maximize his talent once he gets to the next level here in a couple of months?
I think you have him play corner predominantly, just like Deion did and just like Champ did, and then you have a package for him offensively because he's too explosive and stuff not to use on offense too. And that's what we did that a lot with Champ. And I think Mike Shanahan did that a lot with Champ also. Now, Deion didn't do as much receiver. You know, Deion was the return, you know, big-time returner. And you can do Travis Hunter, use him that way too, you know, if you want. Because you want the ball in his hands because he's so explosive.
And we've talked about quarterback too. And teams draft for need. It's just part of the reality of the process. But best case scenario, you know, one of these quarterbacks turns out to be Bo Nix. Because Caleb Williams went one, Jaden Daniels was brilliant, took the Commanders to the NFC Championship game. But Bo Nix, Broncos kind of came out of nowhere, and we saw, even though the Ravens thumped him, you could tell when he was in that game at M&T that he belonged, and they may have found their long-term answer. But if you're going to take Cam Ward second, Cleveland, hypothetically, is Bo Nix the best you can hope for? Is that the best you want?
Yeah, because, I mean, if you take him second, Bob, what's he going to be compared to? Jaden Daniels. Right. So, and more than likely, that's not happening. So there's a lot of pressure. And we haven't heard anybody. I mean, last year at this time, Bob, it was like You know, it was kind of like Jaden Daniels was kind of catching up because Caleb Williams was the guy. And then all of a sudden, Jaden Daniels, you know. But there's no talk of that. There's nobody that people say definite number one. I mean, most people that you hear, and I can't wait to watch the film, most people that you hear say, you know, they'd be like the sixth or seventh guy in last year's draft.
Yeah, it's Cam Ward, it's Shedeur Sanders, and maybe Jackson Dart squeezes into the first round.
Yeah, out of necessity.
So we've seen teams get ruined by that sort of philosophy before the infamous, 2010 draft?
Oh, my God, that was bad.
The Jake Locker, Christian Ponder years.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to be cool with that. Maryland tomorrow trying to break a 7.
Bob.
Yes.
Matthew Stafford reached an agreement today on a restructured deal that keeps him with the Rams.
So no Raiders. Ah. Now, who was saying that he met with Brady on the yacht? Who was it, Rappaport? Or, like, we've had Jordan Schultz on the show before.
Right.
And I found him to be a rather strong guest. I think Rappaport B-buttoned us.
Yes, he did.
He was like, he like literally hung up in the middle of the interview. Oh, I got to take this call.
Well,
yeah, so, yeah, go Schultz.
Next time I see him. It's on site.
Yeah, that's right. But Matt Stafford stays with the Rams. And any financial particulars here?
Restructured deal. So I'm guessing if he was getting it from everybody else, you know, I'm sure the agent's like, hey, you told him to go out and see what the market is. Here's the market.
Now, what do the Raiders do?
Probably draft.
Yeah, because they wanted Bo Nix. They wound up getting, you know, Bowers, who turned out to be a brilliant pick for them.
No, yeah,
but Matt Stafford sticking around with the Rams. So congratulations to him because he got paid handsomely. And they probably, at least on paper, will be considered as the favorites to win the NFC West.
I would totally agree with
that.
And
now I guess Brock Purdy's going to have to figure out some financial stuff with the San Francisco 49ers as well.
Yeah, he's going to be in the 50s, I would imagine.
Crazy. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. When we come back, Tommy Gerbasi, Ring Magazine, going to preview the Gervonta Davis, Lamont Roach Jr. lightweight championship fight in Brooklyn. It's on Amazon Prime pay-per-view, and we'll talk to Tommy G about that. Any chance of an upset? And will we see Tank fight more than once a year? Because that's kind of been the MO the last couple.
Your sports information station, 105.7 The Fan.
Rage Against the Machine, featured artist Fridays, chosen by you, the people. One more segment to go. Get your song request in to Nolan McGraw, 410-583-1057, and he'll rock and roll. Inside Access takes over at 2 o'clock. Terps tomorrow at noon, taking on Penn State. I got all Joe Namath, guaranteed a Maryland win. They're only laying 1.5. They've lost 7 in a row. Orioles taking on the Twins. Give you a score update there later in the hour. And, of course, the NFL Combine is happening in Indianapolis. But tomorrow night in Brooklyn, Baltimore's own Gervonta Davis back in the ring for the first time since last June, taking on the WBA junior or super featherweight champion Lamont Roach Jr., who's from D.C. So a little Baltimore D.C. thing going on. Here to talk about that, other boxing happenings from Ring Magazine. He is on the Window Nation guest hotline. Let's welcome back to the program Tommy Gerbasi. Tommy G, what is happening?
It's going to be hot tomorrow and cold on Sunday.
Cold on Sunday, no doubt about that. Thank you for the weather report. Hey, before we get to Tank and Lamont Roach and Chris Eubank Jr., I guess eggs are cheaper over there in London than they are here in the United States. Bivol better Biev. Split decision goes to Bivol in the rematch. I thought it wasn't an egregious decision. What did you think?
I thought it was a fair decision. I thought Bivol won the first time, too. You know, a lot of close rounds, but Bivol's the better boxer, and, you know, he had more down the stretch this time. Fair decision, and I can't wait to see him do it again.
Now, I know that there might be some other opportunities to move beyond a trilogy, but, you know, boxing fans, I would assume Eddie Hearn's already said, and His Excellency Saudi Arabia, that this is a foregone conclusion. So a David Benavidez still going to be on the outside looking in, it seems?
You know what? Beterbiev is 40 years old. He can't wait Yeah, if we're going to finish this thing with Bivol, which, you know, they each won one, so let's finish it off. He can't wait around, you know, and take a Benavidez fight and then go into this. And Benavidez would be the one, you know, fighting Bivol. So, you know, does Bivol want to finish this off or go in another direction? I think, to be honest, when the prospect of a third fight was proposed to both of them in the ring after the fight, the looks on their faces was like, yo, man, I've seen enough of this guy over the past 24 rounds. I think they wouldn't mind going in another direction, but I think for legacy and the fans and, you know, their pocketbooks, you know, this should be the direction they go in.
Now, these two guys don't fight until April, but Chris Eubank Jr., Conor Benn, they had their, and they both talk trash as well as anyone in any sport. And Eubank broke out an egg upside his head, literally. You know, I guess eggs are kind of expensive around these parts, Tommy G. I don't know what's going on in your world, but you knew this was going to get heated. It got heated. Any chance the fight actually lives up to the hype that's going to be surrounding this for the next couple of months? And what, already 150 bazillion people tried to buy tickets for this thing over, what's it, Wembley?
I had to pay a $50. That'll be next. A 50-cent surcharge on eggs at the diner last weekend. And I'm watching Eubank Jr. He's got a jacket full of them. So he was ready for more than one egg during that press conference. There's going to be a great lead-up to this. There's going to be a lot of hype, a lot of trash talk, entertaining trash talk. But these guys are not their fathers. You know, and I think once fight night rolls around, I have a distinct idea we're going to be disappointed.
Tommy Gerbasi, Ring Magazine, joining us here. Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato. Now, tomorrow night, Tank Davis back in the ring for the first time since June when he knocked out Frank Martin. Now he tries to defend the WBA title against Lamont Roach Jr. He's only lost once himself, world title holder in his own right. How do you see this one unfolding? Tank says he wants to fight more than once a year. Of course, a lot of this is because of his out-of-the-ring exploits where he's gotten himself into some trouble, legal trouble at that. But can this fight be more competitive than, say, a lot of people believe it is? And maybe because Roach isn't a big puncher, that's why a lot of fight fans don't really give him much of a chance. Is that fair?
That's very fair. And I think if you've been paying attention to the pre-fight stuff, the press conferences and workouts and all that, no one's asking Davis about Lamont Roach. On paper, maybe Lamont Roach is a little higher level than Frank Martin, the guy who Davis beat last June. But the thing that makes this interesting for me is that Davis is at the point. I'm excited for the fight on Saturday. I'm excited to see him in action because he's reached that point in his career where he could be fighting me and people will be interested. People will buy tickets. People will buy a pay-per-view to watch this guy fight anybody. He's earned that spot. But what makes this interesting is that is he actually paying attention to Lamont Roach? I know there's that D.C. Baltimore thing going on, so, you know, maybe he is for local bragging rights. But no one's asking about Roach. No one's asking about this fight. Everyone's asking about what's next. You know, he had a bit of a change in the corner, and Calvin Ford stepped back a bit, and then Barry Hunter came in. They're both going to be there Saturday night. There's so many things going on outside of the fight that makes Roach a live underdog on Saturday.
Now, Tommy G, assuming Tank gets by him, and we'll get your prediction here in a second, what would be next? Of course, Stevenson, he's been doing a lot of talking. They've been talking a lot of trash. You got Haney and Garcia going to run it back here at some point this year. What is next for Tank Davis? Hey, he's on pay-per-view, as you said, but when's he going to start fighting these pay-per-view-level opponents here?
You said it. You said it. He's got to fight one of those guys next. Like you said, is Stevenson, Haney, Garcia again, Keyshawn Davis just won a title. He's a real talented kid. Lomachenko's still there. I don't see that fight happening, but he's still in the picture. He's got a belt. He's got to do this. But then again, you know, he'll probably do decent on pay-per-view tomorrow night, fighting a guy who should not be in a pay-per-view fight. So if it ain't broke, don't fix it, right? That's the way his team's probably looking at it. But to the public, to his fans, he's got to fight. I'm not going to say roaches in a live body,
right?
But he's got to fight a guy who's up there, at least in terms of name recognition. You know, he's got to fight one of those fights. And this kid's talking about retiring, that this is his last year. So if it's your last year, are you going to go out fighting the best, or are you going to go out protecting the zero to the end of your record?
Tommy Gervaisi, Ring Magazine. All right, what happens tomorrow night? Time to be determined. It's in Brooklyn, I'm guessing, somewhere around 11:30 Eastern time.
My mentor, who passed recently, Mike Katz, he used to call it boxing after deadline instead of boxing after dark. So it's going to be boxing after deadline. Business as usual for Tank. I think anywhere between 7 and 10, he gets him out of there.
Tommy Gervaisi, always appreciate the time. Enjoy the fight tomorrow night. We'll talk to you soon. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, Bob. You too.
You got it. Tommy G, everyone. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Come back, reset the program for you. Matt Stafford's not going anywhere. Give you an Orioles score update. And I like Maryland tomorrow, Nolan. Lay them 1.5, winning handily at Penn State, where they've lost 7 in a row. Grounded out to shortstop. No Gunnar Henderson. Left yesterday early. Low back discomfort or side. Brandon Hyde said he's going to get the weekend off, but doesn't appear to be anything serious. And we'll be talking about the Orioles, obviously, when we reconvene on Monday morning. Matthew Stafford sticking around. We were just talking with Brian DiArdo a little more than an hour ago. He thinks he's going to the Raiders. Nope. Restructured deal with the Rams. Matt Stafford not going anywhere. Team announced this today. Financial particulars I don't see just yet, but probably ain't cheap.
No, because he was going to get $27 million. He wanted more money, which he deserved. And if the Raiders and Giants were offering 90 to 100 for 2 years, he's probably making somewhere around 45, probably somewhere in that vicinity from the Rams, I would imagine.
So congratulations to Matt Stafford staying in L.A., where they expect to be one of the top teams in the National Football Conference. And the Terps tomorrow taking on Penn State. 12 o'clock tip. You can hear the game on the Fan. Our coverage starts at 11 o'clock. Maryland coming off that heartbreaker at home. 60-footer losing at the buzzer to Michigan State. Laying 1.5 at Happy Valley. Of course, I think Maryland wins and blows them out, Nolan. So go ahead and bet appropriately. I think Maryland blows them out tomorrow.
Right. I'm laying off on the betting, but I've calmed down since earlier. I got my heart rate down. Everything's going to be okay.
Yes, it's senior day at Happy Valley. There are going to be a ton of Maryland fans, I would assume, up there for the game. Then Maryland's got Michigan and Northwestern to close out the season. Still a 5 seed. Joe Lunardi's updated bracketology came out earlier this morning. So Terps right now, still a 5. Now, they lose to Penn State, then at Michigan, maybe the 6-7 seed starts becoming more of a harsh reality, depending on how they do, of course, in the Big Ten tournament.
Well, if they lose tomorrow, I'm not going to be here on Monday. Okay. Just letting you know.
Well, don't get carried away, but I'm confident in victory for the Maryland Terrapins. Again, you can hear the game, 105.7 The Fan. Nolan, got any closing thoughts before Inside Access takes
off? No, I just saw this. We've got franchise tag numbers have been confirmed. Any positions you're interested in here?
Tackle.
Offensive line in general. $23.4 million. That's your price tag.
Oh,
quarterbacks $40.2 million this year. Just keeps climbing.
It's average of the top 5. So,
right. And wide receiver. I mean, probably unlikely that the Bengals would double tag T. Higgins, and it'd be even higher than the $23.9 million that it's listed at here. They already said they want to get a long term thing done with him anyway.
Right.
But we'll see what happens.
Only gets more expensive. Salary cap up to 279.2 here in 2025. 31 years ago, salary cap was about $31 million or something crazy like that.
Yeah.
Them damn eggs getting you every time. All right, Funhouse.
Suarez.
Zero draws, Funhouse.
Doesn't count in standards. Nope. Sorry, Matt.
The rudeness, tuneness text reader.
Who's the fastest gun alive?
This side of the Chesapeake.
Sponsored by the Smile Design Center. Changing the way you feel about dentistry one smile at a time. For information or to schedule an appointment for care, visit them today at smiledesigndoctor.com.
I like that quick straw.
105.7 The Fan.
First texter here says the Orioles say they want to run more. They want to utilize small ball techniques. But I feel like that's just spring training talk as usual. They've got the talent to have a very dangerous and balanced lineup, but last season is proof how quickly these guys can settle into bad habits, the home run or bust mindset.
Well, I think the injuries had a lot to do with that offense going south. Rutschman, Jordan Westberg, Mountcastle, among others. Let's not discount that. I mean, they were the best offense in baseball for a half a season plus, and they built up enough equity during that half a season. They still finished, what, fourth in the majors and run scored, second in homers. But when you got wheels, man, utilize them. First to third, get creative on the base paths. You got to get the first to steal second. I get that. But I want to see Jackson Holliday break out some of that multifaceted offensive skill set here.
This one on the Ravens says, Stanley's agent would be foolish to let him sign with the Ravens right now. Being listed or regarded as one of the top overall free agents, not just O-linemen, by most outlets you look at, it's a premium position. Even if he wants to be picky about going to a winner, there's got to be a handful out there that would blow Baltimore's best offer out of the water.
Well, that's why the agent is at the combine, and he's doing his due diligence all week, so he has a pretty good idea. You don't have to wait the free agent to know what the market's going to be, and that's what the agent has done. And, you know, and if we hear that Eric and the agent don't have a deal done while they're in Indy this week, then the Ravens don't want to pay what the agent is hearing he can get.
Back to the Orioles, texter says, Couser had solid numbers over the full season, but you're right, Bob, a little streaky in those strikeouts, oddly high. I think they have to naturally come down in year two because that's approaching Mark Reynolds territory, and Couser doesn't have that Reynolds power.
I think he whiffed today, if I'm not mistaken, as well, after a Holiday let off with a single. But he had the great April, then valleyed in May, came back in June, I believe, or July, and then kind of cratered again. Get that six-month consistency, and you're going to see a guy that's going to be a contributor, we hope, to your team for a long, long time.
This one says, no team will let Travis Hunter play both ways. It's just not sustainable, and if they're investing that high pick, the slot money that comes with it, they aren't going to put that workload on him. It was impressive in college. Great that he won Heisman, but it ends there.
I totally agree with that. No, I think he'll get, you know, 10 plays of offense a game, something like that. He's not going to play every down, but they'd be foolish not to use his skill on offense because the team that he's going to is going to be, you know, a top five pick, you know, so they're not going to be that good offensively or defensively.
And one last one here from Steve in Baltimore, who says it seems like Elias has not been as successful in trades and free agency as he has been in the draft. With that in mind, if he's not able to get those draft picks to stick around long term, does he lose credibility amongst the fan base?
I think some people have already given him some lack of street cred sort of vibes here. I'm letting the process play out. I can't wait till next season because they're going to have to spend money. They have a lot of dudes on one-year deals, a lot of players hitting free agency. How is he going to parlay some of this extra cash into some long-term deals? Eventually, you're going to have to address Gunner. Eventually, you're going to have to address Adley Rutschman. I think Zach Eflin was a nice trade deadline acquisition last year. This guy might be your opening day starter. So, Orioles are still predicted to be one of the best teams in the American League. Maybe I'm missing something. You guys just take a nap for 6 months, and we'll let you know how the season ends in October. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We'll come back on Monday, hopefully talking about a successful Orioles weekend, a Maryland win at Penn State, everything at the Combine, Tank Davis probably retaining the title, and everything else. Inside Access coming up next. For Nolan McGraw, Vinny Serrato, I'm Bob Haney. Stay safe, stay healthy. Talk to you on Monday. For now, classmen.